In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, today is the first Sunday after Pentecost, and in our calendar, that makes it Trinity Sunday. Heresy Sunday, in many ways. It's very difficult to talk about the Holy Trinity without inadvertently slipping into heresy. No wonder it's the strangest doctrine you've ever heard of. When Nicodemus came to Jesus under cover of darkness and was trying to understand who Jesus was, and Jesus tells him, "You must be born from above," Nicodemus doesn't get it. "Really? I'm old. I'm supposed to get back in my mother's womb. What are you talking about, Jesus?" And he says, "Nick, come on, work with me here, guy. It's metaphorical. I don't mean you have to really be born again. You're born, water, spirit. Come on, Nick, get it together. Are you a teacher of Israel?" I love it when Jesus gets snarky. He really does in John's gospel. "You call yourself a teacher? Don't you know these things? I'm trying to tell you about heaven, man." But it's no wonder that Nicodemus doesn't get it. It's no wonder that we don't get it. The doctrine of the Trinity is weird. It is just plain ununderstandable. It is beyond the capacity of human beings to grasp. I mean, think about it. Our first reading today from Isaiah, he's in the throne room of God. And so this is the way we usually picture God the Father. Generally, an older guy with a white beard and hair and lightning bolts, perhaps, sitting on a throne. It's either Santa Claus or Zeus, but it's not really God. But it's the only thing we have to picture God as. And for 1,500 years, the Jews proclaimed there is only one God. Sure, at first, it was first among other gods, but by the time of the prophets, they're realizing there is only one real God. All the others are just idols, man-made things. And so they hold tight to that idea. It's what gets them through the Babylonian exile, the fact that their one God is with them no matter where they go. And so that's just pounded into their heads. There's one God. And then we have Jesus. And people experience Jesus as somehow being God, as being divine, Son of God, eternally begotten Son. How to fit that together? There's one God, and yet Jesus is God, and then Jesus prays to God. What's going on? And if that weren't difficult enough, at the Last Supper, Jesus spends several chapters talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Comforter, the Paraclete, not Parakeet, that's something different. And it's, too, is described as divine. So now we've got one God. We definitely know that. And yet, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How do they fit together? How are we supposed to understand this? Well, spoiler, we're not supposed to understand it. You can't. But they tried. The church tried for centuries to hammer this out. Literally, blood was spilled over this concept. They would get into actual fist fights, you know, bishops. They would get together, they would argue, and it took four centuries to finally decide they could say, "Yeah, we really don't know. We just know what is. There is one God. There are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all three are God, and yet there's not three gods, there's only one God, and deal with it." And that's where we are, basically. We worship a triune God, a God who is of one being, one substance, and yet is three persons. And not just three aspects of the same thing, that's a heresy. Not three different things, that's a heresy. But three in one and one in three, and it doesn't make a darn bit of sense. But it shouldn't. We're talking about God. If we have the temerity to think that we can understand God, yeah, we deserve the fate we get then. It's important that we come up across these things and realize that not only is God so much more than us, he's so much other than us, beyond human understanding. There's no way we can fit the idea of three persons and one being, one God, and yet three, and they're all one, and not fall into heresy. And that's good. It is a mystery. It is an unknown and unexplainable. And thank God for it. Because if we were going to make something up, it would at least make a modicum of sense. But the Trinity? We get it. We have it because that's the way God revealed God to us. And we don't have to understand it. I think we should worship it and be in awe of it. And to think that a being so complicated that it's beyond human comprehension loves us, created us, wanted us to be so that we could be in communion with God. As a Trinity, God in and of God's self is a community. We're created in the image of God. We are created to be in community with each other. Man is not a solitary beast. The way we punish people is to put them in solitary confinement. When God wanted to punish Cain for killing his brother, he didn't kill him. He sent him off by himself. We are created in the image of God to be with each other. That's why corporate worship is so important. Sure, you can pray to God on the golf course or the deer stand or wherever you are, but we're created to be together, to sing praise to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, to join our voices into one, to come and receive the body and blood of Christ at the altar. We are one body because we eat of one bread, we drink of one blood. We have one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And although we are many, we are one. That's the amazing thing about God. It's the amazing thing about the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, as confusing as it can be. That something so vast and incredible and incomprehensible is yet so personal. God is transcendent. God is beyond all things. Everything there is cannot contain God. And yet, God dwells in us. This incredible, complicated, confusing, incomprehensible being dwells in us, gives us life, allows us to love. It's an amazing God that we worship. We come together and share in community because we're created in the image of a community God. So we don't understand it. We don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand how Erica keeps staying with me. There are mysteries in life, and yet there's love. And that's the thing. We don't have to understand God. We just have to know that God is love. In Jesus Christ, God revealed God's self in the fullest way that we can comprehend. So whether or not we understand the Trinity and perichoresis and interpenetration and all the other things that go with the deity, we know that God loves us. And we know that God expects us to love each other. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.